I want to look at some of the neglected attributes of fascism and its relevance for what's happening today. Before World War I, Benito Mussolini was a socialist. But many of his socialist comrades thought he was less interested in advancing the cause of socialism than in advancing himself. And sure enough, the minute that the wealthy classes in Italy offered him financial support and the promise of power, he didn't hesitate to switch sides. We know about people who switch sides, don't we? And with the huge sums he got from wealthy interests, Mussolini was able to project himself onto the national scene as the acknowledged leader of I Fasci di Combattimento, it was called, a movement composed of ex-army officers and various other toughs who were used as a kind of anti-labor militia. They specialized in attacking unions, peasant farm cooperatives, socialists, communists, and anarchists. After World War I, Italy's parliamentary government faced a post-war recession. To maintain profit levels, the large industrialists and big landowners would have to slash wages and raise prices. The state, in turn, would have to provide the big owners with massive subsidies and tax exemptions. To finance this corporate welfareism, the populace would have to be taxed more heavily, and social welfare expenditures would have to be drastically cut. Does all of this sound familiar? But the government wasn't completely free to apply these harsh measures because many Italian workers and peasants had their own unions and fairly strong political organizations with demonstrations, strikes, boycotts, factory takeovers, the forcible occupation of farmlands, and all these things. They won some substantial concessions in wages, in work conditions, and in the right to organize. So the workers and peasants were able to mount a defense of their standard of living. To roll back that standard of living and to get the economic changes that the plutocrats and tycoons wanted, the ruling interests had to abolish the democratic rights that helped workers and peasants defend that standard. So the solution was to smash their organizations and their political liberties. In 1922, the Federazione Industriale, the leaders of industry, along with top bankers and agribusiness associations, met with Mussolini to plan the March on Rome, contributing 20 million lira to the so-called fascist revolution. Within 2 years after seizing state power, Mussolini had shut down all opposition newspapers and crushed the socialist, liberal, Catholic, Democratic, and Republican parties, which together had commanded about 80% of the vote. The fascists were never a majority in Italy. Opposition leaders, union leaders, and others were beaten, exiled, or murdered. The Italian Communist Party endured the severest repression of all. In Germany, there was a very similar pattern of complicity between fascists and capitalists. German workers and farm laborers had won the eight-hour day, unemployment insurance, the right to unionize. They had built very strong political organizations also. But heavy industry and big finance were in a state of nearly total collapse. Business wanted to cut wages. Business wanted tax cuts and massive state subsidies to revive profit levels. During the 1920s, the Nazi stormtroopers were subsidized by business and were used to terrorize workers and farm laborers. But by 1930, a decision was made by the German tycoons, and that decision was that the Weimar Republic no longer served their needs and was too accommodating to the working class and to the Social Democrats. They greatly increased their subsidies to Hitler, and propelling the Nazi Party onto the national stage. In fact, Hitler himself boasted of it, the immense amount of campaign material we got. 1,000 automobiles with loudspeakers. Each of them could make 100 appearances. So 100,000 appearances saturating every town and village in the cities of Germany, getting out this propaganda, money to build their party organization, their youth groups, and their paramilitary forces. You can read book after book about fascism and Nazism and find almost nothing said about the economic policies of these regimes, of the things I just told you about now. They're just not in the books.